Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to thank you all, especially Gung He and Michael Crook, very much indeed for your splendid, warm-hearted welcome today at this wonderful George Hogg Memorial Hall, and for inviting us members of SAKU. My uncle George Hogg's memory and legacy is being celebrated in no small way here today, as indeed it is being celebrated throughout this year in a variety of ways, both here in China and in the UK. I'm honoured and privileged to share with you some of my uncle's story. George Hogg's middle name, Aylwin, which I'm proud to share as my middle name, is an ancient name meaning wise friend or noble friend. It seems that George Aylwin Hogg certainly lived up to the meaning of that middle name. I believe there is an old Chinese saying, give a man a name and he becomes that name. Very true in this case. 80 years ago, Ruy Ali penned an epitaph to George. Through his being and working, many blades of grass will grow where none grew before. I heard this epitaph quoted several times in 1988 during the high-profile memorial events in Beijing, Lanzhou and Shandan, held in memory of Ruy Ali. It seemed to me then that not only were we remembering Ruy Ali, but in no small way we were also remembering my uncle, George Hogg. Later the same year, I returned to Gansu to act the part of my uncle in a 6-part television series. I was so deeply involved in that project and moved by my uncle's story that I began to write his biography, the title of which refers to that epitaph, Blades of Grass. The book was finally published in the UK some 8 years ago, and it has now been translated into Chinese by Dr. Li Linxi and published just last month in Beijing by the prestigious Renmin Publishing House to coincide with the multiple anniversary celebrations this year. So at last, the Chinese-speaking people can get to know more about my the man behind the legend, where he came from, his background, what moulded him into such a very special person, who gave his all to China. George Hogg arrived in Shanghai in February 1938 at the age of only 23, and soon found a job as a journalist for United Press International in Hong Kong. He was then able to travel widely investigating the war situation. Sponsored by Agnes Smedley, he travelled, for instance, to Yan'an, where he met people such as Zhou Enlai and the 8th Route Army generals, Nie Ranjin and Zhu De. He was the first journalist to visit the headquarters of the newly set up Chinese Industrial Cooperatives, the CIC, in Hong Kong, for a story where he interviewed Ruy Ali. George was already very familiar with the cooperative principles and ethic laid out over a century earlier by the cooperative pioneers in Rochester, England. He was impressed by this dynamic New Zealander Ruy Ali and intrigued by this cooperative idea. The idea was to create masses of small industry in the hinterland as the major industrial regions on the coast had been totally wiped out. When the Japanese finally took Hong Kong, many foreign journalists were expelled. George was one of them. However, he secretly returned to China via Japan, Korea and Manchuria into Beijing, from where he was smuggled out into the countryside held by General Nie Ranjin's guerrilla forces. For many months, George travelled widely with the guerrillas, during which time Niranjan and Tudors urged him to write clearly and truthfully to tell the rest of the world what was really going on in China, the resistance to Japanese wanton aggression. Then in October 1939, he joined up with the CIC in Baoqi, their most dynamic center, where he became their public relations man with the title Ocean Secretary. This entailed lots more traveling, gathering good, colorful grassroots stories for publication in the West to raise awareness and financial support for the CIC. In time, he and Rui Ali developed the idea for the technical training of the younger generation who would eventually become their leaders. Several schools were started, some failed, but George became headmaster of their school set up in Chuanxipu, not far from Baoqi, and so the Bailey schools were born. Through his passionate guidance, the school flourished, developing its own unique dynamic identity. The school occupied a strategically strong position overlooking the ocean of major routes to the south, east and west, with the Japanese threatening to force their way towards Xi'an. The Kuomintang wished to take over the school's hillside position. It was time to move. With the help of Joseph Needham, co-founder of SAKU, a possible location was found out along the Silk Road in the ancient oasis town of Shandan, out of harm's way. What followed became legend. The school, with its 60 pupils and 20 tons of essential machinery, was to be moved 1,000 kilometers over two high mountain passes during what was to be the most severe winter in living memory. The first half of the trek was on foot, with horse-drawn carts and wheelbarrows. For the final part of the journey, they managed to borrow 5 old motorized trucks. The school was to be set up in Shandan's old temples, where the local Muslim warlord Ma Bufang had recently been stabling his cavalry's horses. George worked relentlessly, leading his band of trusty helpers. Over the next few months, they achieved monumental results. By the summer of 1945, the school was really taking good shape, but during a basketball match between pupils and staff, George injured his foot, and through the broken skin, he contracted tetanus. Because of those horses, the surrounding ground was infested with the tetanus bacterium. No one, unfortunately, had thought to include tetanus serum in their medical supplies. George had survived various serious illnesses. While in China, paratyphoid after his evacuation from Hankou, then typhus soon after leaving Beijing following his return from Japan. Also anthrax and malaria had become a regular visitor. His strong constitution had always pulled him through. Surely he would pull through this time also. While preparing to move the school and then during the little long march, total responsibility was laid on George's shoulders. Rui Ali was for the most part in Chongqing, battling crisis after crisis in the organization. Then during the months of getting the school up and running in Shandan, Rui was again in Chongqing, fighting for the very survival of the CIC. George was exhausted and run down. Fresh food was hard to come by in the winter and early spring in that arid land. In one calm moment between spasms, George felt that he might still pull through, but just in case, he wished to make his will. My all to the Bailey School. Soon after Rui's return, and just hours before Serum arrived from afar, George tragically died on July the 22nd. Surrounded by his loyal, admiring students and his four beloved adopted sons, he was only 30 years old. That was just 80 years ago. In that short life, George Aylwin Hogg had managed to achieve so much of great importance to the future of China. His perseverance, dedication, and openness had brought him close to the hearts of the ordinary Chinese people. So what can we learn from this story, from this extraordinary man? I believe that the crux of the matter is to love and respect one's fellow human beings, regardless of race, belief, or cultural difference, to strive selflessly with compassion for a common, positive, humanitarian goal, one can achieve truly amazing things, even in a young life, so tragically cut short. He has built lasting bridges of friendship between East and West, particularly between Great Britain and China. Long may that legacy last.